In the Heights is one of my new favorite movies.
Right off the bat, huh?
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised because I know how it affected me when I saw it.
How did it affect you?
You know, first of all, the first part of it, though, was, and I think you and I have talked about this before, is that Hamilton, you know, really blew me away because it was on the stage. And so this is the first time that this is actually made for a movie. And so I was expecting that Hamilton kind of live stage appearance, and it took me a little bit to settle in. But once I did, man, I was on a trip.
It is so good. I mean, here's the thing. I love movie musicals. That's like my favorite genre, probably. And we're really kind of, for those of us who like them, we're starved of them. You know, we don't get many of them. If we're lucky, we get maybe one a year. They used to be the genre of Hollywood. You know, they were the ones that would win Best Picture. They were like the big prestige films. And they after, you know, decades ago, they went away and audiences like were over them. And then after Chicago came out and won Best Picture, it's kind of like the musical's back. And Rob Marshall seemed to figure out a way to make audiences kind of understand or accept it again. But since then, we've gotten like one, maybe two, if we're lucky, musicals a year and as movies. And It's just weird. But this year, it's kind of the year of the musical. I mean, there's so many musicals. We're getting like 10 or 12 musicals this year, which is amazing. Wow. And I'm really excited. And this is probably the best one. I mean, there are going to be some really powerful ones. And of course, we can't discount Steven Spielberg's West Side Story that's coming out for awards season later this year. But I feel like this is so innovative. And what's so great about In the Heights, it was a Tony-winning Best Musical on Broadway with songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda. He starred in it on stage, and now he has a featured role in the film. It totally reimagines and pushes the boundaries of movie making in a way that only a musical can showcase what's possible. And there's so much magic to it. And you know what I'm talking about. Without giving any away spoilers to anyone, there are things that happen that are so surprising just in terms of cinematic movie making capability. Like there are little things there that you wouldn't expect. You know, it's kind of like how you don't expect people just to break out into song and dance, but it's like this film takes it one step further and does things cinematically that normal dramatic movies, you know, stories don't use. I don't want to give anything away because I want to do spoilers, but there are elements of movie making that bring more magic to the screen beyond just singing and dancing. And it's so unexpected, and it's so innovative, and it's so much creative genius. And it is credited to director John M. Chu, who previously did Crazy Rich Asians, and whose next film is, guess what?
What is it? Star Wars?
Wicked.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. You know what I mean? Because Wicked is, you know, I've seen it 46 times. I'm an honest historian. Like, it's like my thing. But you know what? For all that previously, before John M. Chu was attached to it, I was like, oh God, what's it going to be? They might ruin it. Now I'm like, man, you do Wicked, and it will be perfect, because I have so much faith in John M. Chu based on what he just did with In the Heights. I mean, it's amazing. Like, he's so good. And this movie is so good. The dancing made me want to quit everything I'm doing and go back into the theater. Like Hamilton, this story, you know, Lin-Manuel wrote this before Hamilton, and like Hamilton, it takes a political issue, in this case, dreamers, and adapts it to an intimate family story. And from that perspective, makes different styles of song accessible to everyone through the power of storytelling and melody and movement. And it's just so amazing. I also love that Daphne Rubin Vega, who originated the role of Mimi on Broadway in Rent, but was one of only two characters from the original cast who did not get to reprise the role in the film version of Rent. She has a major role in this movie, and she's outstanding. And it's sort of like a cinematic redemption for her. You know, I love that she's there. And then Anthony Ramos, who's the star here, who plays the role in the film that Lin-Manuel did on Broadway, is so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope that this gets reissued around award season and that Warner Brothers markets it correctly.
Well, there's so many different scenes in there that is life changing, but there's also moments of tremendous peace. And I'm just going to say one thing, because I don't want to spoil it. Granite Stairs, was that beautiful or what?
Oh, beyond. I mean, but so was the water, and so was, you know, the streets, and so was, you know, everything. I just can't. I cannot. Yes. Everything was so, again, that's what I'm talking about, magic. Mm-hmm. And only in a musical. I mean, if they did that, if that happened suddenly in any other drama, because this was a drama, the story's a drama. I mean, there's like minimal comedy, but like, you know, if they were just watching a regular drama and that happened, you'd be like, whoa, what is this? What is this, a sci-fi movie? You know what I mean? You'd be like, what's happening? You know?
So but now does it start out as a girls' night out movie? What happens here? Because I mean, eventually it's going to have to become a couples' night out movie because that's how powerful this story is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's a good question. And depending, you know, to see how the, I mean, box office with musicals are iffy to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that something does what Mamma Mia did or The Greatest Showman, which was the most unexpected juggernaut, which I love because that's my second favorite movie of all time, just behind The Wizard of Oz, by the way. And I love In the Heights, and I really hope this draws people out, and I really hope that it either is the first big, you know, blockbuster to break through at the box office, kind of as we're coming through the pandemic, or I hope it does really well considering that we're still in a pandemic. You know what I mean? So maybe if it won't do, maybe if it doesn't break 100 million like it should. It's also, by the way, streaming on HBO Max at the same time. Right. So it's, you know, it's available to everyone that's, and a lot of people have HBO Max.
Well, people are treating the movie theater like it's, you know, they're driving by it and they go, wow, there's that building. Wow.
Yeah, we
just got to get them inside. They're almost there. Almost there.
I know. Well, but then we've got other movies, like the other movie coming out today is Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, which,
for the kids,
by the way, which I saw in the theater. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers sends me the link for In the Heights, so I watch that at home. And then Sony makes me go to the theater for Peter Rabbit 2. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? Meanwhile, but I will tell you, I loved Peter Rabbit 2, and I'm like, and I didn't see the first one, and I don't think you have to have seen the first one to enjoy it, but it's so well done, and it's so great for all ages. You know, my whole litmus test for family film is, will it entertain the adults? And this one surely does, and I'll explain why. But before I do, I have to tell you, I don't understand, like, the title. Like, it's called Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, and maybe I missed it. Did you see it, too? Did you see the movie?
Not yet, huh?
Okay, because Arrow, like, I don't think anybody ran away in the film. So, like, I'm very confused why it's called Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. Like, that's, like, I'm still, like, I had trouble sleeping last night thinking about it. So, it's something's up with that. But aside from the title, it's the most delightful movie. I mean, it reminded me of, like, Babe, all the animals. It's such a seamless integration between the CGI characters and live action. You've got a very brunette Donald Gleason, you know, who's normally a redhead, and Rose Byrne, and a lot of British humor. It's very meta, very self-referential in a way that is so delightful. Like, the angle that they use from that and how they keep coming back to that just tickled me. And I laughed out loud a lot. The script is very clever. The animals are great. And the story that it weaves, too. It's about, you know, it's not about a runaway as much as there's like a caper, you know, subplot that goes on, you know, and that part's really fun. And it just really reminded me a lot of, like, Babe, in the sense that, remember Babe, how great that movie was with the pig and lots of different animals, and the animals are so great and they all talk and it pulls on your heartstrings. So there's a moment where it, like, hooks you and there's a twist and you're like, ugh, and you feel for them. I was just into it.
It takes me back to the very first time that I saw Roger Rabbit, and they said that this is going to change the way that we watch movies, animation.
Oh, sure.
And so when I see a movie like Peter Rabbit and stuff like that, my God, it just that whole entire experience that we've all gone through to get to this moment, because they make water look like real water nowadays.
Oh, they really do. It's so, so true. It was really, it's amazing. And you know, and in that vein, it's great for all ages. And if you're comfy returning to the theater with the kids, so unlike In the Heights, which is available to stream now on HBO Max or see in the theater, Peter Rabbit 2 is only in the theater.
Wow.
So if families are ready to return to the theater or comfortable, that's where they're going to have to go. So
they have to be, because everybody is so darn restless right now. You got to quit going to a grocery store to get your fix for things, man. You got to start going into buildings and stuff like that.
I know. It's so true. Well, see, it's summertime. The warmer weather is supposed to be better in terms of limiting the spread of COVID-19, and you know, so many people are vaccinated, which is helping communities stay safe. And you know, apparently, you know, children, I guess, aren't at risk of getting that sick to begin with. So the children under 12, is it, that are not vaccinated? And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, we can't advise. Everybody has to choose for themselves, and everyone has a right to choose for themselves. But I just think if anyone is feeling comfortable, I mean, we finally have two movies, both movies that really are great on the big screen. Yeah. So anyone that's interested, have at it.
Is there a side of your creative personality and your push to always move forward? Is there a side of you that's going, there was a pandemic? I mean, I feel like something took place, but because we're trying to push so hard away from it, it's almost, I don't want to go back into my daily writing just yet, because I don't want to see that man's emotions compared to where I stand now.
I don't really know what you're asking me, but what I want to say is there is a part of me that already feels kind of like, did that happen?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There's a part of me like I know I stayed home for way too long and didn't leave and walked between my bed and my couch and gained 30 pounds, which, by the way, I've lost 15 so far.
Nice.
I'm working very hard. And like, so I know that all happened, and I know that I was afraid to go out and wearing masks in my building. Like, but like, there's a part of me that, yeah, because I'm returning to normal. I'm adapting to life before pretty quickly and pretty comfortably and enjoying it. And I'm kind of already past the whole, like, oh, I'm somewhere and no one's wearing masks, or some people are wearing masks and some people aren't. It's not bothering me. And it's like, you know, I am pretty much I'm kind of ready. So I don't know if I want to pretend like it never happened,
right?
But
right.
There might be some kind of protective quality in our minds, or in our personalities and our subconsciouses, that like collectively we want to you know, protect ourselves. And it was a traumatic year in a lot of ways.
With the mask coming off, have you noticed any habits that you picked up along the way? For instance, like, I obviously yawn a lot, and now that I don't have a mask hiding it, you see my yawn. Or if I've got something in my teeth or in my nose, it's like there's nothing hiding that anymore. I've got to be very much aware of what I'm doing with my face.
Yes. Well, I do have some friends that like got very sick with really bad colds and coughs, and it almost sounds like they have bronchitis, and they were like the whole family, the kids got it, then the mom got it, then the dad got it. These are some of my best friends. And I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, so there are other contagious things out there. So I'm still like using some of the antibacterial gel. I mean, that all existed before the pandemic, but it went like, you know, it flew off the shelves then. But they're even saying that COVID, and I don't know, don't listen to me. Everybody has to do their own research, but that surfaces are maybe less contagious than previously thought. But still, I'm like, so I'm kind of relying on, you know, if I walk into a store and I touch something, I still want to wash my hands right away, or when I get home, wash my hands right away. And you know, so because I don't want to get a cold, I don't want to get the flu, I don't want to get strep throat, I don't want to get, like, you know, there's still a lot of stuff going around, and we want to stay safe, and I don't want to get COVID, even though I've been vaccinated, and you never know, I could be part of that 5% that could still be vulnerable to it, and God forbid get it, and you know, so there's anything after the Moderna shot, I'm saying, you know,
that's it.
So you just never know. I mean, it is a new world, and in some ways some things will never be the same. I will say, for me personally and my career, like, some of the studios are no longer sending the links, like for Peter Rabbit 2, and I had to go see it in the theater, and I was on the way, as great as it was to see it in the theater, I was like, oh, I wish I had just had the link and could just watch it at the convenience of my home. And I'm like, and I feel like they're doing that a little bit quicker than they should be, because not all, like, I'm not in the top 25 markets. I'm not in Chicago, LA, New York, you know what I mean?
Right.
Philly, whatever. So it's like, in my city, they're not having necessarily the press screening, and I'm kind of just going to the sneak. Like I saw Peter Rabbit 2 last night. You know what I mean? And like, so I, you know, I just, and if I wanted to review it today, that's what I had to do. But it just, that wasn't convenient. And I wish that wasn't being rushed. But listen, I mean, I'm not complaining. I love my job.
As do I. And I can't wait till we get deeper into this, man.
Yes, me too. So bottom line here today, Arrow, is, you know, in the Heights, right? I mean, I'm glad you agree with me. It's so magical. And there's so much to just enjoy. I mean, is it not just, were you just smiling watching it?
Always.
I
did not leave the theater until the final credits were up and the lights came on. I could not leave the theater. I didn't want to let go.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, yeah. I loved it. I haven't seen it in the theater yet, but I'm going to.
You have to. You have to. It's a different Absolutely. Story. It's a different story.
I'm sure.
Yep. All right, man. So RyanJReviews.com, man. You be brilliant this weekend, okay?
You too. Thanks, Arrow.